They pointed out that about 40 to 60% of economic growth today is due to R&D activity. They estimated another 20% is due to the rising skill levels of the population, and therefore you see why nations around the world have recognized the importance of research universities and are investing heavily in them. The challenge here, however, is that while the United States still maintains strong leadership, in fact, on the various world rankings, roughly 30 to 35 of the top 50 universities ranked around the world are American universities, there are growing concerns about the vulnerability of this key asset in the face of shifting public policies. It's a consequence in part of the low priority given the unique missions of the American Research University, but it's occurring across the board, a lack of recognition on the part of the publics. The states are backing away. The federal government does not provide stable support or policies. And for that reason, 2 years ago, Congress itself stepped forward, led by Lamar Alexander and Barbara Mikulski of the Senate and Bart Gordon and Ralph Hall of the House, and asked the National Academies to do a major study about the future of the American Research University, arguing that they are of enormous importance to our social and economic well-being, but we're concerned they're at risk. In specific, they asked for 10 actions spread out over not simply the federal government, but the states, research universities, industry, and other stakeholders that can maintain the excellence in research and doctoral education in the United States. The commission that was assembled was quite interesting. It was 22 individuals, half from leadership roles in higher education, the leaders of universities like Stanford and MIT and Cornell and Texas and so forth, and then half from industry and government, including CEOs from DuPont, Bank of America, Citibank, Accenture, Eli Lilly, and so forth. The committee relied very heavily on testimony and written input. It was involved in a number of different exercises, but the unanimous conclusion reached within a very short time by this highly diverse commission is that the most vulnerable component of the nation's knowledge, research, and innovation infrastructure was the unwillingness of states to sustain the world-class quality of the nation's public research universities. Over the last decade and a half, we estimate these institutions have lost on an average of 30% of their state support on a per-student basis. Some of the institutions have lost well over half of their state support. I suppose the poster child is the University of California, which, of course, across all of its campuses is probably the finest university in the world. And over the last 5 years, they have lost half of their state support. And if a major referendum on the California ballot in November fails, they'll lose another 10%. So they're at enormous risk. Looking across San Francisco Bay at Berkeley, the president of Stanford, John Hennessy, put it this way. The states are methodically dismantling their public universities where the majority of the nation's campus research is conducted. Two-thirds of its scientists, engineers, physicians, teachers, and other knowledge professionals are produced. So the message taken by the National Academy to address this very urgent issue is that these devastating cuts in many states accompanied by intrusive regulation is not only harming the future of these states, it's putting at great risk the nation's prosperity, health, and security as well. The key feature here is states simply must understand that their flagship research universities are of vital importance to the welfare of the nation. By cutting support of public research universities in a knowledge-driven global economy, the states are, in a sense, harming the future of the nation itself. As go the public research university of the states, so goes the nation. We have a series of recommendations we've made to deal with this involving action on the part of the federal government, on the part of the states, on the part of industry, and on the part of institutions themselves. And as we get in the question and answer period, I'd be happy to talk about that. But let me shift to the Great Lakes region. One of the strange hats I wear as a Hazeman president is as a senior scholar of the Brookings Institution. I've been involved in a number of their studies of the Great Lakes area in particular that follows along the premise that today's economy no longer is locked within traditional geopolitical boundaries. It rather spans large multi-state or multinational regions with common economic, demographic, and cultural characteristics. These regions are anchored no longer by state capitals, but by large metropolitan areas that have achieved a global presence. the states of the American